providing inspiration and community for women in business of Middle Tennessee. This is Powered by Her with Tiffany Anton.
Welcome back to Powered by Her. I am Tiffany Anton. If you want to join the movement of Powered by Her, if you want to know more about what we're doing, you can head over to poweredbyhercommunity.com. If you're interested in being an advertiser on the podcast, please contact me. You can find my email address there. And if you want to know about any of the other efforts, we have a women's mentoring program that we do. We have events that we're doing monthly, multiple times a month. So we'd love for you to join in the community. And if you have not yet followed us on wherever you're streaming this podcast, go ahead and hit the follow button, leave us a review, let us know what you think. So we have Hera,
whatever. Yeah, that worked.
Sarah and Hannah back. Sarah Chambers and Hannah Istvango.
Beautiful.
There you go. See, I'm going to look each time and just like, do everybody says it as a question, right?
Most of them. Yeah. There is a silent question mark behind that O, but the inflection is perfect. Yeah.
Istvango. From Privy Clear, and we talked about your business and you guys as business partners and how you've learned and grown. And we kind of, I didn't get into it because I wanted to save it for this topic. But Hannah, you talked about your infertility journey. How's the proper way to say this?
So I still call it infertility journey. My husband and I were both diagnosed with infertility for various reasons, but I have since had a child via the miracle of IVF, and I feel like there is a misnomer once you have that baby via IVF, you're still infertile. Mm-hmm. So should we want to pursue a second child? I mean, it's round two of treatments and mm-hmm. the doctor's appointments and the shots and the medicine and all of that stuff. So
And one of the things, Sarah, you mentioned too, it was kind of in passing in the last episode, is that you have struggled with the same kind of issues. And what I really want to know is, how has that affected your friendship? Because you guys were friends before this, and that is a lot. It's I have not dealt with fertility issues myself, but I know that it's not easy. My best friend has, and I think that there's times where when I did get pregnant, it was not easy for the two of us. So now you're running a business together. And so,
yeah. So when Hannah and I first met and like started working together, she was going through IVF. And so I hadn't gone through it, but we had just found out that, you know, we need to do IVF. And so we were starting that whole process, and I got to see Hannah kind of go through everything, which I hated seeing her go through all of that, because when they like take you in for your IVF consultation, you know, they tell you a lot and it seems like a lot, but it is just the tip of the iceberg, everything that you have to go through. Mm-hmm. And so really seeing Hannah go through all of that, honestly, we joke that we have a trauma bond. And I mean, it really is, honestly. So one, I think it helped me so much in like my journey with infertility, and just kind of having someone to ask questions that's been through everything. So if anything, I feel like it strengthened our relationship.
And I don't know if you remember this, but I'm an elephant about some things, and then other things I'm a goldfish.
Yeah.
But it was around 2020, and I guess you had just gotten your diagnosis, mm-hmm. as had we, and you and I chatted on Facebook about
it. We did. And I forgot, and you brought it up to me, and you were like, do you remember?
Well,
and I'm like,
oh, I don't. After I was hiring you for where we work.
Yeah.
I was like, we've messaged on Facebook? And then I looked through it and I was like, oh my God, we
trauma dumped on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, before this, I would consider myself a fairly private person. My Instagram is mostly comprised of dumb stuff I think is funny, mm-hmm. and like my dog and my husband. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody knew we were having fertility issues. I mean, it was like the day we got married, it was like I threw my birth control out the window, I felt like. And
mm-hmm. same.
You're told as a teenager, like, oh, it's so easy. And, and boom, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a year of just trying, and having a doctor tell me, I was 25 or 26 at the time. He's like, well, you're not old, but your clock's definitely ticking. And that just sends you into like a spiral.
I'm guessing this was a male doctor too. Yeah.
Well, I can neither confirm or deny, but it absolutely was a man.
Fun fact, mine was a female doctor. That's a whole other thing, but
I was just going to say, it would have been so nice to have somebody to direct me and my husband. There is so much raw emotion that you experience as you go through IVF. And like Sarah said, during your consultation, they're like, oh, you're going to do some shots and then you're going to have rich egg retrieval and then we'll implant and, done is done. Hands are clean. We're done. That is absolutely not it. Mm-hmm. It is 3 weekly appointments for blood draws. It's different medications at specific times every single day. And if you miss a shot or whatever, you have to call them and you're panicked and there's just so much. So I would have loved to have had a resource, another woman that had gone through it just to tell me what to expect and regardless of what happens, like it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in the thick of it and, I won't lie, some of those shots you get in your back, I mean, it's months of a 2-inch needle and gel going in. It's just a lot. And
Hannah is like, doesn't have feeling in her hips permanently from all of the shots. It's like 10 weeks.
It's longer than that.
Yeah.
Because you do it before your implantation and then you do it until you're 14 weeks pregnant. You're like just over your first trimester and it's a lot. But yeah, I still don't have feeling like the backs of my hips, like feeling to touch. Like I don't have anything like that. But yeah, so when Sarah and I became friends and we really started to dig into this and the emotional side, but also the physical side, I felt like everything does happen for a reason. And if I can be a resource for one person, it's worth it. And I came out the other side with like the most amazing daughter. She is the light of my life. Mm-hmm. And I would want everybody to experience that type of joy that wants to experience
that it. Wants to. And yeah. I was just going to say, so I did an episode with CG England in December or November, and she talked about her choice to not have children.
And good for her.
And yeah. So I good think that her. There's, we talked a little bit last episode about being a stay-at-home mom and if that's what you want and all that kind of stuff. And I think that I'm thankful that we live in an era where I think that women are feeling more confident and comfortable of trying to live the lives that they want to live and going full force at what they want. For people who haven't gone through fertility issues, what are some things that are terrible to say? This is your air it out there, girl.
There's a
so
lot.
So where people think, I think people think that they're doing, the right thing. I have a family member that will say, when are you going to have babies? And I'm like, you don't know what's going on. Just stop.
On three, do we just say the 2-word phrase that people tell you when you're trying? One, I know. Two, three.
Don't
just
stress.
Relax. Yeah. Just relax. Yeah. Just relax.
Yeah.
I had an OBGYN tell me, she was like, just drink a bottle of wine when you're ovulating.
Like doctors telling. I think that's something that was so shocking for me too. Yeah. Is what a lot of people don't realize is when because we both saw the same fertility specialist at Nashville Fertility Center. And they have, several other years of specific fertility training that regular OBGYNs don't have. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot that, our OBGYN didn't know. It's not their fault. It's just because it's a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. Even like hearing those phrases from our doctors,
it's so invalidating.
It's mm-hmm. so invalidating.
Because I don't know about you, and I'm about to get so personal.
Do it.
I had been on birth control since I was 16 mm-hmm. and never really had to worry about getting pregnant or anything like that. And so when we decided, it was like, oh, it's going to be so easy. I'm just going to get off of this. And I knew something was wrong. We weren't getting pregnant. And my body, my cycle was so messed up. I was 60 days in between where I was supposed to be. And I just kept telling my doctor, I was like, I think something's wrong. Mm-hmm. I think something's wrong. They're like, well, we can't really do much for you until you've tried for a year. And I think in a normal circumstance, that is probably the correct mm-hmm. prognosis that you would tell somebody.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, I'm having these other issues. Like,
That's not
I don't know
normal.
That you're listening to kind of what I'm telling you. I know my body and I know what feels right and this doesn't feel right. So finding the specialist that we both went to, she was so validating and was like, so how long has this been going on? And I think at that point we had been trying for about 3 years. And she was like, oh no, they should have done X, Y, Z, this, this, this.
That was shocking for me too. I'm like, oh.
They didn't test my husband until I had been on medication for fertility, maybe 6 to 8 months of a medicine called Clomid.
Which makes you crazy and it's awful.
It's awful.
That's what I was on Clomid for several months. They never tested my husband for, I mean, over a year.
And it's one test for men.
It's one test. It's so inexpensive. It's so easy. But yet I was having to go in and get pricked by needles and have all of these very invasive ultrasounds and missing work and just so many things. Like it affected my entire life, emotionally, professionally, all of it. And all of that could have been avoided if they had tested my husband first, because he is the one that has infertility issues. And not only that, like it affects him. I mean, he has like a completely ruptured vein that was missed that has caused like infertility. And so it's like, if someone had just, it's almost like there's a bias. I mean, there is, that it's always the female and it's not, it's 50% the female and sometimes it's 50% the male. So it's
sometimes
really
you get
even.
Lucky and it's both of you. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's like so many options and it just, that was really, really hard that I went through all of these treatments and then I never even had to. So when I saw the fertility specialist and she was like, here's everything that, you know, that they should have done. I didn't even know how ovulation really worked until I started going through infertility. I mean, there's just so much that I didn't know about my own body.
Well, I think that's so true of women in general. When I got married, I was like, okay, I'm going to go off birth control. And I was having like 60-day cycles and I was kind of like, should I pay attention? I wasn't really trying to get pregnant. I probably pretty early on knew that I was not in a healthy, great marriage. And so I wasn't really like, let's go and have kids right away. And I was told I probably wasn't ovulating, but it was just this like theory. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. And then 2-3 months later, I end up pregnant and I'm like, oh crap. Like, and I mean, and I'm sure that you probably can't even comprehend how that would feel, but no. I mean, I felt like I was 16 and had gotten knocked up. Like I was like, this is crazy to me, but I know that this was like the way life was supposed to work. And my daughter is, you know, changed my life, but it's just that, and that advocacy for your, you know, yourself. And it's, as Sarah mentioned last episode, she wants to be more confrontational. And I'm sure even when it comes to your health and your doctors, like it's hard because it's like, well, they've gone to school for however long and these people know more, should know more than me. But it's your body and it's yourself and trying to advocate for what you know. Okay, this isn't right, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There was one time, I don't know, maybe you told me this story. I don't know if I was there for it, but when you had like a biopsy and they didn't tell you how painful it was going to be.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So one of the things they do before you even start shots, anything with IVF, is they check your fallopian tubes. And how they do that is super fun. They blow air into you and they watch die.
And I'm sure it's just like...
Yeah, it's a gentle breeze, a whisper,
right,
caresses your fallopian. It's amazing. Yeah, no. I go in there.
It's like a spa treatment.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I told my husband was like, well, do you want me to take you? I was like, it's going to be like an OBGYN visit. Like, this is not a big deal. I'm grown. I got it, you know? And so I
drove. Not to mention, it's like an hour and a half away.
I drove myself. And I went to one of their offices. They have a satellite office in Murfreesboro. And I went and had the procedure done. And they were like, you might experience a little cramping. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I got it done. And I have a really high pain tolerance. And I almost passed out. It was so painful. They practiced putting a catheter in. And then they did the fallopian tube test. And so I just...
I've heard it's awful. I have not had that done yet, but I heard it's one of like the worst pains.
I was sitting in the chair in the front office. I must have been white as a sheet because the nurse came up to me with 2 ibuprofen and she was like, do you need these? I was like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I need like hard drugs.
More than
like,
that.
Yeah. And so I got in the car and I called my mom because I call my mom for everything, bless her heart. And I was like, Mama, I don't know if I can make it back here, if I can make it back to Cookeville, because I just sat and I cried and I cried. I was in so much pain. It wasn't going away. And I am so fortunate to have the siblings that I do, because we're incredibly close with one another. And so I called my sister, and she lives in East Nashville, so about an hour away from where I was. And I was like, I can't move. She was like, I'm on my way. Don't even think about it. And she came and picked me up, and I stayed at her house the rest of the day until I felt up to driving. It was the mix of the shock of nobody told me that this was going to feel this way. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I went in thinking it was going to be one thing, and then we're going to perform four different tests because you're already here. You feel very, it was almost like an outer body experience. Like I was watching aliens probe on somebody, or, you know, like exploratory science.
I watched the YouTube video and I was like, I really don't want that.
Yeah. It's a lot. And that's probably not even the most, invasive thing that you have done to you during mm-hmm. fertility treatments. So, not to discourage anybody that is interested in, mm-hmm. in IVF or fertility treatments, because I mean, like I said, my daughter, I mean, we're locked in. Like that girl and I, everything mm-hmm. together. Yeah. I'm obsessed.
And I love that I got to see Hannah like become a mom. And I mean, I got to see her before motherhood and then grow into a mom and then also a business owner. It's
where do you think that like you just have such a positive attitude that I mean, I'm sure there are days where you feel like, when is it my turn?
Nothing makes you angrier than somebody you went to high school with posting, mm-hmm. whoops, like baby number three on the way. And I can just, I don't mean to speak for you, but yeah. I can just remember looking at those and like screenshotting it, sending it to my mom. And I was in therapy for such a long time, just crying and crying because I was like, this is not fair. Mm-hmm. I'm in a stable marriage. We both have good incomes. We've got a home. We're happy. What's the missing link for? Why isn't it our turn? I can just remember almost like chanting that. When is it my turn? And I do respect Sarah's outlook and positivity, because as somebody who's on the other side of it, for now, I always ask her. I'm like, hey, are you in a good space to see a picture of my kid?
Because I love that. Hannah always asks.
It would hurt my heart so bad when people would show me pictures of their kids or like a pregnancy announcement in the office where they pull you aside and they're like, hey, so-and-so's pregnant. We just didn't want to upset you. And it's like, now you're the center of attention because everybody's worried you're going to be pissed or crying or, you know, whatever. And it's like, okay, no, I can be excited for her and jealous of her all at the same, the same time.
And I think that's what's confusing, but you know, at the same time, I'm in such a different spot in my life right now. If you had asked me, you know, a year or 2 years ago, it would have been, honestly, I don't even know that it would have been possible for us to be so close mm-hmm. because I was in such a bad spot.
Totally
and
fair.
Infertility consumed my life, consumed my marriage, just everything. And I finally got to a point where I really feel like you go through the five stages of grief. And that was so on brand for me when we had figured out our diagnosis. And then to hear from our specialist that we have like less than a 1% chance of ever conceiving naturally, like it's not going to happen. And it's just heartbreaking. But now I feel like I'm at a spot in my life where I don't know, I'm like, yes, I would like to be a mom, but it's not my top priority right now, which is so weird, that shift. And just my thinking, I don't know, because I have just loved, you know, everything that I've put into Privy, and I've just enjoyed growing it and building it. And, you know, my marriage with my husband has been so good. And honestly, I thank infertility for that. And I say that and it sounds like I feel guilty for it, but it took us to a whole other level in our marriage. And I mean, we have gone through hell and back already and we're 27. So it made our marriage just so fantastic. And it allowed me to really focus on other areas in my life and kind of take off the focus of infertility. So in a way I'm not thankful for it, but like kind of, because now I feel like, you know, the sky's the limit. I don't have to worry about that and focus on that. I can, you know, think about other things. And so I'm just kind of in this weird spot in my life where it just doesn't really bother me that much anymore.
I think that that's so true with everything in life is, you know, you're building, whether it's, you know, you're 22 and you really want to be married and all you're focusing on is, you know, your friends getting married, or you're 35 and you really want to build a business and all you're seeing is that your friends are, you know, they're starting their own businesses and they're really successful, or you're 41 and you're seeing, you know, all these people going on trips with their husbands and you don't have one. And it's like, when you can focus so much on that one thing that you can't have, or you're not getting, it just drags you down. And it really is. I like that the five stages of grief is that you really do need to mourn whatever it is.
This life that you've, 'cause I've told my husband that too, like, ever since we started dating, we were 19. We've had that plan. We're going to get engaged. We're going to fall in love, you know, get married, have a baby and a house and, you know, the whole thing. And like, that was our plan in our head. And then all of a sudden it's like, that's not going to happen. And if it does, it's certainly not going to be the way that we had planned out since I was a little girl, you know, that's kind of been how my life was going to go in my head. So it's almost like now we have to rebuild what we want our future to look like. And it was terrifying, but now it's kind of exhilarating to be able to do that.
And I mean, I have children myself. I think that there are some really beautiful things about life without children that some people, sometimes we forget about.
We just take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think we just, what time did you wake up Saturday?
Oh, I slept in Saturday.
Yeah. What time? What time
like
did
10:30.
You wake up? Okay. Yeah. 5 o'clock, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. That,
ready to go. Yeah. Me and Miss Rachel.
But see, I feel like I don't know, because I don't want to take away from people who are parents, because I think I'm so jealous of so many aspects of your life.
Certainly.
And like, and seeing her have so many firsts with her daughter that like I've thought about, and sure, like that is hard. But then I feel like I've just come to a point in my life where it's almost like I'm not grieving it anymore. And yeah, it's hard, but that's not the only thing that can make me happy and make me feel fulfilled.
I feel like there's multiple types of grief with infertility as well, because I feel like there's that pre-baby grief where everything upsets you and like, hey, I can't go to a baby shower. I can't handle it. Or I'm just going to stay off Facebook for a few days because so-and-so is pregnant and I can't see the pictures. But then I think, and this is kind of where I'm at, there's this interesting other side of grief once you have this beautiful baby and you've been through all of these, for lack of a better word, horrible things, but miraculous things.
Yeah.
To have her. And now I feel like I'm not allowed to have like the mom complaint where it's like, I'm the, you know, the one waking up with her at night. I nursed her for 8 months. I do, you know, it's both, you know, me and my husband are both involved with our kid, but I feel like there's like mom guilt and then there's infertility mom guilt where it's like, how dare I say that I'm tired after 3 weeks of no sleep and a teething baby or something.
You've
because this is what she wanted.
Yeah. For 4 years. I mean, the guilt, we're, as women, we're real good about like,
I'm great at it.
Talking ourselves into the guilt of everything, of like, just carrying it around like a badge of honor, like, you know, oh, I can't say this, I shouldn't say that. And I think that that's, at the end of the day, having your core people that you can say the things that you would never say on Facebook
100%.
Or on a podcast.
Yeah, right.
You know, having those people that you would say those things to is so important. It's just to be able to say those things out loud that you feel like you can't say.
We call it the girl gang in our family. So it's my sister, my mom, and my aunt. My sister got pregnant 2 weeks after I did on it was a happy accident. And our Valley girl, I love her so much. But it was so nice because I would call her and, you know, she's only 2 weeks behind me. And I would call her and be like, girl, how them ankles feeling? Because I can't move.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was going through the same thing. So having somebody in a similar stage is really helpful. But also, you know, a bunch of my best friends, Amanda and Sarah, probably my two closest friends, and both very, very supportive and in different ways. Sarah, I know we've had this conversation and I'm not going to get weird about it, but
Please get weird about it.
I appreciate your capacity to be so empathetic to what I was going through at the time, being in the mindset that you were, and giving me the freedom to say, like, momming is hard, mm-hmm. and I'm having a hard time right
now.
When
I always told Hannah too, like, you're a mom first, and that's the whole, like, and that's a really that big reason mm-hmm. why, you know, we wanted to start Privy, because, like, if she wants, she can be a mom first, and I don't care to, you know, email somebody back or whatever, because there's going to be a day where I want to be a mom first. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
and I'm going to say no way.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely not.
Well, and even if that's not, if it's not a mom first, maybe it's that you're going to travel. First.
Yeah. It's well, gonna, she's told me too. She's like, on Saturday, she was like, you've done a lot. Like, why don't you go to dinner with Dylan? Like, take the day with him.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that also why we work together so well is because I don't know, like, the pressure is just kind of off. Like, we both know that we're 110% invested and that we're going to do our part, but we almost have to hold each other accountable.
There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to make sure, check in with each other and be like, it's okay to choose to be a mom, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's okay for me to be with Dylan and not
choose to be a wife.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to be selfish. Like, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
it is. So yeah.
I think that that's, again, you just have the right people in to have you in check of like, okay, well, has the pendulum swung the other way too mm-hmm. much? And I think Hannah, you kind of mentioned that you'll say is, are you in a space where I can show a picture? And I think that that's, it's just being, but you're not like, I'm not going to show our pictures. Cause I know that that's a point of contention too. Sometimes of, I had two friends that one got pregnant with twins and the other one was trying to get pregnant. And so she didn't tell her. The one found out from the hairdresser. Like, that's not,
sounds like a soap I mean, opera.
And yeah. these are friends, yeah. you know? And it's like, but I understand that, like, well, what do I say? Do I, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to hurt. At the end of the day, I think it's the trust that you have love and respect for each mm-hmm. other. That's really, you know,
and the overly communicating. Mm-hmm. I think that just being honest with each other too has,
and there are some days where you talk to me and you're like, I'm having a hard time with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Like, we're just very honest with each other.
Yeah. And I never feel like it's a personal attack or an attack on what I've been through or Eliza or, mm-hmm. or anything like that. It's just how you're feeling at the time. And
it's just real.
I think, like I said, I think there's a benefit having gone through it already and, you know, mentally preparing to go through it again for mm-hmm. a second child someday.
Maybe that's when I do it. We just do it together.
Don't even tempt me with a good time, girl.
Stop.
Don't
we even set up me. Our appointments and everything.
But yeah, so I think that, like Sarah said, just that mutual respect. And I know I'm very well acquainted with how she's feeling. Felt like that for a really long time and it hurts. And it, you know, you don't want to feel ostracized like some weirdo, like, oh, they don't show me pictures of the kids because I think I'm going to have like a breakdown. It's like, no, it's not that. It's just, it's such a deep wound. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily show at the surface. Like, I could look at other people's kids and be like, so cute, love it, you know, but
when, like you
walk
said,
away and be like, damn, like, yeah, that hurts.
And it never goes away. Infertility, never, ever, ever. You don't, I mean, I feel like I've healed from it a lot, but you know, every month that my period's late, I'm still like, oh, am I pregnant? There was one month I brought in a pregnancy test to Hannah in a plastic Ziploc bag. It was awful. And I'm like, this shows that I'm pregnant.
Yeah, that was bad.
And she was like, okay, this is not.
Like, I sent her to the hospital immediately. I was like, you need to go get.
Yeah, I went and got blood work and, you know, and I feel like I've come so far and I've grieved with it, but then something like that will just send you right back.
And you're spiral.
Yeah, you spiral. And I did. I went to the hospital and got blood work. And of course, they're like, you're not pregnant. But I mean, it's just that easy to just be sent right back into all of it.
Well, and we're really good, like the voices in our head that want to tell us whatever story they want to tell us is, mm-hmm. you know, we're great about that. So.
For sure.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being so vulnerable and so open about your stories today. I really appreciate it. And I hope that some people listening, you know, resonated. I'm sure that you know the statistics. How often are people struggling to get pregnant? Do you know
right?
the statistics?
It used to be 1 in 10. Now it's 1 in 8. Mm-hmm. 1 in 8 couples, well, I think, will be diagnosed with infertility.
And that's 1 in 8 that will talk about it and report it. And mm-hmm. that, you know, or who knows whether they're struggling and they're not talking about it. So I appreciate it. And I'm sure that it will resonate with some of our listeners. And, you know, I think that it's a beautiful story between the two of you too.
Yeah.
Of just how you guys have gotten through that together. Not to make your husband upset.
But like, well, no, he went through it too. And, yeah. And it, I mean, it changed his life.
And I think that that's a whole nother thing.
For sure. Like,
the men that go through it and how they don't talk to no one.
And that's what I say. It's like, especially with my husband being on that end and like seeing him go through kind of everything that I went through, but in such a different way. It's, you know, women don't talk about it, but men really don't talk about it.
Yeah. They at least, usually women will at least talk to one or two people. I mean, men talk to literally no one.
My husband was at every appointment. He administered almost every shot, a real trooper. Mm-hmm. And I know he loves our daughter the same, you know, I can't even explain it. They do. I worked so hard on her. I ate so many Sour Patch Kids and Frosties and whatever. And she looked just like him. So
Great.
Yeah. Maybe number two.
Yeah. My 10-year-old was sick the other weekend and she said, why don't something about taking care of her? And I was like, I grew you for 9 months. Of course I took care of you.
Yeah, exactly. You're here now, aren't you?
Yeah. I do just fine.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thank you for tuning in this week. Thank you, ladies, for being
here. Thank you
for having
us.
If you want to know more about Powered by Her, head over to poweredbyhercommunity.com. Thanks for listening.
If you want to know more about Powered by Her, head over to poweredbyher.com. Join the community, support the cause, and we'll see you next week.